Good jokes, right, Bradley? Okay, well, on Resurrection Sunday, Dylan and I had this discussion. Yeah, I actually thought of this week. Why has the church called it Easter Sunday for so many, 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 many years? And I have called it Easter Sunday since little kid. It's always been Easter. Easter isn't found in Scripture. It's like the word Easter is Resurrection Sunday. So I'm trying to work my vocabulary to say Resurrection Sunday after being so long saying Easter. Not that there's anything wrong saying Easter, but it's Resurrection Sunday, and that's why we're here. So, and with Resurrection Sunday and the whole festival behind Easter, there's Easter egg hunts and all the stuff that goes on. So I was told last night not to tell any jokes before the eggs were boiled. Huh? I was told, yeah, don't say any. I said, why? Why shouldn't I tell any jokes? And so they said last night, don't tell any jokes before we boil the eggs. I said, why? Why shouldn't I tell any jokes? And they said, your jokes are so good, we don't want to crack the eggs. There you go. Yeah, I got it anyway. Why do Easter eggs like to hide? They're a little chicken. Okay. Just a little chicken. Not a big chicken, just a little chicken. And what does the Easter bunny plant next to corn in his garden? Jelly beans. Yep, that's where all the jelly beans come from. Cookie, they plant the jelly beans and it grows to make jelly beans. You believe that? No, me either. So anyway, Resurrection Sunday. And once again, I love Resurrection Sunday. I love Good Friday and just thinking of Christ and what he has done. And then Saturday, he was in the tomb, and Scripture doesn't talk a whole lot. There's assumptions, and people think of where Jesus was on that Saturday. I mean, I can't wait to actually know, like, where were you? What was going on? Some people believe, and there's some evidence in Scripture that might suggest, but other people say it doesn't, that he went to the depths of hell, and that he opened up the gates for those that were in holding before his, and released them. Does it say 100%? So there's questions, right? I want to know, and I think that's some awesome stuff, but our Savior loves us. And I also believe that humor has given to us for a reason. I was reading an article this past week about the early church where they really came down on some priests at the time that were using some humor in their services, and they were, whoa, you can't do that. You can't have people laughing in church. I feel that the Lord has given us humor, right? And I was thinking about this the other day, the angels, and we're going to get into this, but the angels were at the tomb, two angels. And I wonder, what was their discussion? Do angels talk to each other? I mean, if you think about it, we have such limited amount of data on everything that takes place. But were the angels sitting there and the one angel said to the other, no, I'm jumping out and saying, surprise! And no, you can't do that. We're going to freak them out. I mean, do you know what I mean? Because they always said, don't be scared. So what were the angels talking about? Were the angels like, I can't wait to tell Mary when they show up that he's risen? Did they discuss it? Like, those are the things I want to know. I want to know. But anyway, Resurrection Sunday. The message today stems from one question Jesus asked the day of his resurrection. He asked this question, what are you discussing? So our sermon today and the message is based on that specific question. What are you discussing? Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for Resurrection Sunday. Lord, thank you for our salvation. Thank you for your love for humanity. Thank you for your power. And Lord, we just pray that the Spirit will be with us this morning and speak to us in our hearts. Help us to understand your word better this morning, to live it out in our life. In your name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 24. On this Resurrection Sunday, we're going to start, and it's going to go, we're going to read chapter 24, 1 through 19. And then we're going to kind of go further with that, because I just couldn't limit it to those verses. But verse 1, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen!" Exclamation point. So when I read that, these angels were saying, "He has risen." There was excitement behind it, right? It was like, he is no longer here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Now that same day, two of them, same day, still on Resurrection Sunday, same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They walked and were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Jesus asked them, "What are you discussing together?" What are you discussing as they walked along? They stood still, their faces downcast. They were in sorrow. One of them, verse 18, one of them named Cleopas asked him, "Are you only a visitor in Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And Jesus said, "What things?" What things, he asked. What are you discussing? Resurrection Sunday, a.k.a. Easter, right? This miraculous event has taken place. The disciples, as we see, they doubted. You know, we have this miraculous event that takes place. Jesus risen from the dead, and angels were in the tomb, and all this wonder and miracles have taken place, and people were discussing this, and they go back and run back to the tomb, but yet at the same time, like they run back to the apostles, but at the same time, all the apostles and the people, because we're people, right? The human instinct is doubting. Are you kidding me? It makes nonsense. It's nonsense. It makes no rational explanation that a man can raise himself from the dead, because what we do know now is Jesus wasn't just a man. He was God. He was our Messiah, which they were hoping for. which we will see about the two men walking, they were hoping that he was the true Messiah. But they were doubting. Why? Because they just saw the Messiah who they thought was coming in power to rule Israel, brutally murdered and hung on a cross. Saturday, in the tomb. So for three plus years, these guys were walking with Jesus and seeing miracles. And then all of a sudden, their balloon that they were inflated all of a sudden became deflated. And they sat on Saturday morning and just, you know, oh my goodness, Jesus is dead. That's what they were thinking, the doubt. They had questions. There was sorrow. So the discussion among these disciples was, what is going on? You know, what are you discussing? That's what they were discussing. The apostles were discussing that. Jesus' family was discussing that. And that's what I wanted to look at as we talk about what were these people during this time discussing. Think of Pilate. Pilate and his wife, Matthew 27, verse 19, and I wanted to, because I wanted to know, what might Pilate and his wife be discussing on Resurrection Sunday? Matthew 27, verse 19. While Pilate, this is when they were, before Christ was crucified, when he was, you know, being, in front of Pilate. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message: "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." Now, fast forward a couple of days later, what do you think Pilate and his wife were discussing? I mean, the Spirit came to her in a dream. So she had questions of who this man was. And now all of a sudden he's out of the grave. What was that discussion going on between Pilate and his wife? Because think about that. So here's a ruler, Pilate, most powerful man in that area. The ruler was sitting on the judgment seat and his wife gets to him with a message. Do you think that happened all the time? I don't think so. It was a totally different day and age back then, right? It was, I'm the ruler, you leave me alone, I'm on the judge's seat. What was that discussion between Pilate and his wife? I often wonder, doesn't say, did they believe after this? I don't know. The guards, Matthew 28, verse 11. Read that quick. While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. And we'll keep reading. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money. So the guards, what were they discussing? Wow. The guards wake up. The stones rolled away. What are we going to do? We're going to be killed. And what's going on? They go back to the chief priest, and the chief priest says, oh, this isn't good, man. What are we going to do? Well, let's make up this story. So they devised this story that the disciples rolled over, you know, overcome the guards, these warriors, which we know didn't happen, but politics, right? Politics can spin a story. And I'm not getting into politics on Resurrection Sunday, but it can spin that story, and it spun the story of how Jesus was risen, right? So the guards and the chief priests were working that discussion on Resurrection Day. Jesus' family. You wonder what the family, because we know Jesus' brothers during his ministry did not believe that he was the Messiah. And I often wonder how many times did Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the mother of James and others, how many times did she tell them, boys, listen, I'm telling you, an angel came to me when I was a young girl. Like, how many times did she tell them that story? And her kids were like, yeah, right, Mom. You know, because it's not rational, right? It doesn't make sense. I wonder what was going on in their family discussions. Mary saying, I told you so, boys. I told you. You know, he's the Messiah. He's risen. I wonder what was going on in the minds of the families who the men on the cross who hung with Jesus and the one that believed that he was the Messiah. I wonder what was going on in their house. If they were alive, I don't know. Scripture doesn't say. But we do know that these men were on the cross. We do know that as they were crucified next to Jesus, the one man accepts and believes, put his trust and faith into Christ as the Messiah. And we know that Jesus says today, not tomorrow, not whenever, he said today, you will be with me in paradise. Did family members, did people in the crowd hear that? So what were they thinking? Now all of a sudden, is he in paradise? You know, is this truly the Messiah? So all this chatter, and then you have the whole town and city of Jerusalem chattering because it was Sunday. It wasn't their Sabbath anymore. It was a commercial day out there working. Shops were opening up. Shoe guys were out doing shoes. People were selling food. You know, the whole economy started rolling again and people started talking and chatter because it was Sunday, first day of the week. What was all this discussion was taking place? You know, if you think about it as we have it today, you know, if this would have been in today's society with the internet and they would, and the angels or the apostles or Jesus would have been texting on social status, Friday's social status would have been dead. Saturday, social status posted tomb. Sunday, social status posted risen, right? That's how they would have communicated today. I've been told that the reason why the angels came to the women, have you ever heard this? Because they had to get the word out. So men, many times, right? I don't speak as much as my wife or my girl. Sometimes I come in from working and we're doing whatever, and it's, I'm like, whoa, settle down. I have three women now in the house all telling me something at the same time, which men don't speak as well. Some men do. Some men don't. So I've been told that that's why the angels, that was like the internet of the day, women. And they're going to tell everybody, and then everybody knows, the whole town knows, and you move on. Jesus asked these men as they were walking down the road to Emmaus from Jerusalem, after all this stuff was taking place, all these things that were taking place, he simply asked them because he knew now these guys, and we'll see it, that they lost their faith in who he was. And how could you not? You know, honestly, we're sitting here today looking back, knowing the story. They were living the story at the moment. And in my mind, I said, no, I believe Jesus. But, you know, hey, let's face it. Peter denied him, right? Peter denied him. So am I even near where Peter is? No way. Peter denied him. And these guys, they say, our Jesus, who we thought, our rabbi, our teacher, who said he was the Son of God. He said, I am. And he was dead. And now they see the tomb open, and now this chatter starts, and the chatter's going on this opening Sunday of the resurrection. And Jesus, I wonder, did Jesus come up to these guys with a smile? I mean, did, you know, cause he just beat death. You know, he fulfilled the prophecies that he had to do. So as he came through that whole endeavor out of love for us, he didn't have to die for us, but he chose to. So that's why he bled, and that's why he sweated the drops of blood, because of all that pressure. So now it's done. He endured it. So I'm wondering, on this resurrection day, what was Jesus, what was his personality like with these people? I don't know. I wish scripture, I mean, if we had that, it would be like a huge book. We couldn't even read it, right? It'd be so much. But anyhow, these guys were walking, and in verse 19, Jesus says, "What things?" he asked. And then these guys say, and I'm going to read a couple of verses here, down to 27 or somewhere there about in Luke. "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet." They didn't say he was the Messiah here. See what they say? They say he was a prophet because they started to lose their faith on who Jesus Christ said he was because of the human aspect of us as people. He said, they replied, "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death. They crucified him, but we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." That's what they were hoping, and now their hope was shattered, but now all of a sudden the chatter's going on throughout Jerusalem because Jesus was resurrected. "What is more is on the third day since all this took place, in addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body." This chatter. "We didn't find his body. He wasn't there. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But they did not see anyone." He said, Jesus said, "How foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe that the prophets have spoken. Did not Christ," they still didn't know this was Jesus, "did not Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" During that whole thing, what does Jesus do? Jesus doesn't come in and say, "Guys, it's me, it's Jesus." He provides instruction. And what's the instruction? He goes back to the scriptures, just as Jesus did his whole ministry. He kept going back to what was given in the scriptures to the apostles and, well, to the disciples who then became the apostles. He kept going back to the scriptures. Here, Jesus did the same thing. So as he's walking with these guys 7 miles, you know, what's it take to walk a mile? 10 minutes? I mean, I don't know how big these guys were or small they were. So let's say 15 minutes a mile. Does that sound good? 15 minutes? So if they, how long does it take? 7 miles. And we know as they walked, they were discussing. So Jesus took this time on Resurrection Sunday to meet these guys. And as they walked, it wasn't a big crowd. It was Jesus and these two guys. And Jesus explained to them once again, because Jesus knew the human spirit of doubting and denial and walking away and being selfish and being scared. He knows how we are. He took the time, 7 miles, walking with these guys. Went back to scripture, and then eventually, as we see, Jesus had dinner with them, and when he broke bread, that's when they realized, whoa, this is Jesus. We just walked 7 miles with Jesus, who has risen this day from the grave, who have overcome death, and he is the true Messiah that we were hoping for. And they got up. It was in the evening, they think, because they told Jesus not to continue on. And they, so it was nighttime now or getting dark, and they ran back 7 miles. They didn't have light, street lights, right? They didn't have all the stuff. They didn't have their iPhone with their little light on. They just kind of ran. Were they tripping and falling? They're probably yelling. You wonder how that travel went back. You know, what? I know if it would have been me, man, I would have been screaming. Think about that. Think about how excited you would have been to just meet with Jesus, see that he's alive, and then you run back and tell the other apostles. Now, I also wonder, what was there the discussion in heaven? Was there a discussion in heaven? Scripture doesn't say much about that, but we do know that the plan for humanity, the plan that God set forth, we know the plan that the prophets set forth from God, that the Messiah would come. So during all of this, we know before Jesus was born, the angels met with Mary, and they met with people involved in the whole story, right? Then we know now the angels once again, Resurrection Sunday, meet with Mary, meet with the women, and all of a sudden the angels are there again. What was going on in heaven? Another question I have. What do you think was going on in heaven? I'm like, you know, were the angels up there going, praise God? What was going on in heaven? So I started to look at that and turn to Revelation of what we know and the little bits that we understand on heaven and angels. Because, you know, this day, it's not about, honestly, it's not about heaven. It's not about angels. It's about our salvation in Jesus Christ from the resurrection of our Savior. That's where my mind is. But what did the angels say? What do we know about this? What could have happened? Because something did change. There was a change. There is a change, which we call, you can see from the Old Testament to the New Testament, but there is a change from the penalties of sin, how that was covered over by the Passover and by killing of animals, and then all of a sudden the death of Jesus Christ, the payment of sin by his blood. We know that the veil in the temple was torn in two and ripped apart, thus taking away the old law of that process of forgiveness of sins, now leading to what Jesus has given. So there was a definite change in not just human history, but spiritual history. What does that look like? Revelation 5, 8 through 10. Now that this is, guys, I'm not being totally out of context here, so I'm just telling you this, I'm not saying this happened. I'm saying this is what I see in Revelation moving forward by what John has spoken in the book of Revelation. Because what we do know, that there was a throne in the throne in heaven. And at the throne in heaven, we also know that there's bowls and scrolls. And so as we look at the throne, there's angels. And we know that there's the bowls and the scrolls. And verse 9, Revelation 9, it says, actually I'm going to start down, I'm going to say 9, I'll just fill you in. So this is what they sang. The angels were singing this in heaven. I don't know if it happened at Resurrection Day. I'm just going to tell you, this is what they sing, what John saw. Verse 9. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom of priests and to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. And I say this could have taken place of this change because up until this point at the crucifixion, Jesus wasn't slain yet, right? Jesus was the Messiah to come. So up until that point, even in heaven, Jesus wasn't slain. So now, when did this song start? It couldn't have started till after Jesus was slain. So there was obviously some stuff going on in heaven on Resurrection Day. And what I love about this verse, this right here, in verse 9, because you were slain, and with your blood, you purchased. The blood purchase. That's what Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, what we are here to remember. The blood purchase of Jesus Christ for all humanity that the angels sing about in heaven. That's pretty wild if you think about it. I mean, you think, and then you think about how many angels. Okay, I'm going to have just one little brief detail here. In verse 11, so John was saying this. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels. So many angels were singing, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And that's what they sang. So 100 million angels. Think about that. Think about, I mean, how many would 100, I wonder if 100 million angels could fit from here all the way down to the Limerick Tower down there. I don't know. But if you could see that and think about it, and they're all sitting there, standing there, worshiping one thing, is Jesus the slain, by his being slain, his blood purchased for humanity. Why in the world, do I ask, why are we worth that much? 100 million angels, 10,000 times 10,000. 100 million angels singing that. Singing about his blood purchase. Big deal. We live in our world. We live in our time. But think about the big deal. 100 million angels are singing about the blood purchase of you, Esther. They're singing about you, mankind. About you, George. Me, John. Cookie. Girls, Bradley, even you. Seriously, Bradley, these angels are singing about the blood purchase of Jesus Christ. That's powerful. So my question was the same question that Jesus asked. What are you discussing? When I read that, Jesus is asking me that. Jeff, what are you discussing? There's 100 million angels who sing about the blood purchase. What are you discussing? You're talking about business. You're talking about deals working, which we have to do. But what are you talking about all the time? Is that what your life is? Making deals, making money, filling up your bank account? Do I see the angels up there singing, oh, these people have billions of dollars in their bank account? Nope. They're not singing about that. They're singing about the blood purchase of our Savior for us. So, what am I discussing? What am I discussing when I'm talking on the phone making a business deal? Am I talking still about the Lord? I better be. Because there's some angels up there singing about the purchased humanity through our slain Savior. Should our churches be speaking correctly about who Jesus Christ is? And going back, just as Jesus taught these guys on the road that went back to Scripture. This is what Scripture says. Not what we want it to say. This is what Scripture says. What are we discussing on Easter, on Resurrection Sunday? All this chatter was taking place. All this information was going back and forth throughout the city. These men walking on the road, running back in the dirt. You think about these roads, they were dirt and dusty and stones and robbers, and they ran back at nighttime. And then you think about this change that took place in the spiritual realm of now this blood purchase, this blood sacrifice, this Messiah who came and went through and endured to the slaying. And when you look at Revelation, everything comes back to this moment. The slaying, that Jesus was worthy by his blood. That's what Resurrection Sunday comes back to. Jesus' blood. The purchase for all humanity. So my question, that's open to all humanity. Not everybody believes, not everybody's going to heaven. We know that because even though it's open and Jesus has sacrificed himself for all humanity, what do we have to do? We have to believe and trust and ask Christ to that we and we confess our sins to him and that we can only get to heaven by Jesus Christ, death on the cross, covering my sins and putting our faith and trust in him. That's the only way. You can be old, you can be young, but that's the only way. You can follow other religions, you can do this, but where's that going to get you? And people might say, well, hey, Jesus died for everybody. He did die for everybody, but this is still what you have to do. You have to put your trust in Jesus Christ. That should be our discussion. That should be our discussion as we walk this week, as we talk to people, as we are at school, as we're on our cycle racing or at cheer practice or in a youth group or doing someone's nails or hoping to shoot a deer and you're with a buddy or at work. Or in your retirement community where you sit with people at a table. I'm not in a retirement community, so I don't know what goes on there. But I'm guessing are you playing games and having fun and having a good time? So there's time to have conversation. What's our discussion? What are you discussing? What am I discussing? Think about that this week. And think about the blood purchase that is on us. The blood purchase that was for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are the true King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and Lord, I just thank you. I don't even know what to say. When I think about 100 million angels lifting and singing out in song, lifting up their voice just solely about you purchasing us through your blood. That's powerful, Lord. I'm sure there's things there that I can't even understand, but I can't wait to understand and see how that is. But until we do understand that, Lord, help us to be good ministers here. Help us to speak to other people, not in any type of judgment, not in any type of doubt, but just help us talk to people just like we've talked to anybody about anything, because this is such an important thing about our salvation, our eternity. Lord, help us to remember that. Help us to, the gospel, your resurrection, your love for us, is about our eternity. I thank you for your blood purchase for me. You didn't have to do it. I know you did it because you love humanity. Help us, Father, to speak words of truth to others. In your name we pray. Amen.